WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, or come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com. We're here at twitch.tv/WTLive. Interact with us live. We have things to talk about, things to preview, and so much more.
Oh, do we have things we have to talk about? Oh, it was a week in professional wrestling. You know, normally when WWE goes international, it's a relatively quiet time. That was not the case this week.
And we thought Monday was big. Like, the whole rumor with Stone Cold Steve Austin that we talked about on the post-show was big.
Oh, it got bigger.
It got bigger.
It got way bigger. So just to let everybody know, we will be talking the Elimination Chamber in the back half of the show. We will be previewing that. That is this Saturday at noon Eastern on Peacock for the U.S. and WWE Network everywhere else. But let's get into the news for our friends over at MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211, because I know I've been itching to talk about this. You've been itching to talk about this. This is the biggest story of the week, of the month, of the year in professional wrestling, because it's a huge deal. And that is that Cody and Brandi have left AEW.
3 weeks ago, we took time out of our show of a lengthy discussion about what's next for Cody Rhodes because of the Royal Rumble speculation. Talked all about it. Talked more about it on the Rumble show. What if Cody Rhodes showed up at the Royal Rumble? Well...
You see what happened was...
You know, what happened was he never made it to the Royal Rumble, but he may be going to Dallas, Texas. He may be going to WrestleMania. Like, what the hell?
So, basically what has occurred and we're not going to give in to the rumor and speculation. We'll kind of...
We'll give some rumor and speculation.
Okay, fine. We'll give some rumor and speculation, but we're not going to give a lot.
We're not going to work you guys.
No, we don't work people. partially because I don't know how to work people. I'm not trained in that area. Anyway, what we do know is that Cody and we found out that Brandy were both working out a contract. They were attempting to renegotiate with Tony Khan and AEW, and unfortunately, they could not reach any term of agreement. At least for Cody, there's no word on Brandy whether she was willing to resign for what they offered her or not. Nothing's really come out about that. The big story is obviously Cody and the fact that he's walked away because he is an EVP. He is a founder, and so is Brandy. Brandy is a founder. She is an EVP as well. She deserves as much credit, if not more.
She was not an EVP. She was the chief brand officer.
I'm sorry. She was the chief brand officer. In my world, she was an EVP. How about that?
So before we begin, let me read Cody's statement. I have loved my time at AEW. Amazing locker room, amazing fans, amazing people. The revolution was indeed televised, and I've been incredibly lucky to be a part of that. First, I would like to thank Tony Khan. He's taken the baton and run with it, and it was an honor to work for him and to know him as on a professional level. He's a beautiful soul. I obviously need to thank my incredible wife and the mother of my baby girl, Brandy, for all her love and support throughout this journey together and the amazing relationship she fostered with Culture City and the American Heart Association. I also need to thank Nick and Matt Jackson. These two, whether they knew it or not, took an undesired and not confident little cub and gifted me the confidence to become the leader of the pack. Kenneth Omega, Chris Jericho, Chicken, we started the fire. I must thank Tim, Keith, Mitchell, Greg, W., and the amazing production crew who understood and captured a vision with such grace. I can't name everyone, but thank you to Mega, Margaret, Harrington, Jeff Jones, Dana, Tony, Schiavone, Baron, Raph, and the hardest worker in the game, QT Marshall, for propping me up and kicking me in the ass when I was running on fumes. I must thank all my kiddos, MJF, Jade, Sammy, Darby, Lee, Ricky, Tom, The Guns, Brock, Velvet, Nyla, Aubrey, Turner, Vanilla, Solo. Who's Vanilla? Brent, who's Vanilla? Spears, Julia, Anna, and Will, Wardlow, Sunny, Fergal 1, and of course, Negative 1. While we're at it, let's give Jade to Cody Vader. Also need to take a moment to thank the great partners of WarnerMedia, including Brett, Sam, and the rest of the team. I have so many milestones and beautiful memories of the Renaissance through blood, sweat, tears, literal fire, and all that. I left it on the map. Everything pales in comparison to the final contribution I was empowered to lead the company. The community outreach team. It was the most inward moments, your outward behavior, and your ability to take fame and influence and do something of value for the communities you visit, whether the cameras are on or off, is the highest honor. I am confident Amanda Huber will lead the department with style. I'm so proud of my creations and contributions and the items I support or collaborate with such wonderful professionals. Thank you, fans. Y'all did the work. Let's live forever. Awful tattoo thing logo. Well, that's what's stamped at the bottom. It's the tattoo on his neck. So that was Cody's statement. Tony put out a statement via AEW, and Brandy put out one of her own. Yeah, Cody has left. Cody is now on the road to WrestleMania this, in, what, 6-7 weeks? Maybe. Possibly. Maybe he's the surprise for the night after. Who knows? But according to Sports Illustrated and other outlets, Cody Rhodes has been in talks with World Wrestling Entertainment, even so much so that World Wrestling Entertainment knew exactly when he would drop this post on Twitter.
I mean, it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise. There's been a lot of innuendo that there has been problems for quite some time in AEW between the EVPs, between Tony and Cody. There's an implication that Cody lost power at one point. And Cody's situation in terms of him trying to be a top babyface and getting booed and him not leaning into being a heel has not done him any favors. There were some questionable booking decisions that occurred that did not play in his favor. And it kind of all led us to where they are now. The rumor is, and not confirmed, but the rumor is that Cody asked for more money because he wanted to be on Punk's level in terms of pay, or whoever the top paying guy is. We assume it's Punk, but we don't really actually know.
It's CM Punk. It's...
Well, I don't want you to be
he comes in as the top paying guy. That's the only way you get CM Punk. He's not coming back to work for $500 and a ham sandwich.
Well, yeah, that's... Anyway,
Did she say that? Yes, she did.
And, I have such strong feelings about AEW's pay scale. Anyway, and it's also he wanted more creative booking power because he essentially lost his creative abilities in terms of booking. And Tony was not willing to give that back to him, at least to a level that Cody wanted and Tony was comfortable with. So those, I think, were the two main sticking points. Those seem to be consistent in terms of all the stories that are coming out. And so that is what led essentially to the separation. They did, I think, try one final time before Rumble, but they brought the lawyers in to finalize the formal separation. Cody had no stake in the company, which I think a lot of people were surprised by.
Cody, the Bucks, oh my God, have no financial stake in the company.
It's all Tony Khan, and it's always been all Tony Khan. I think this, though, has proved that the EVP titles are really more honorifics than anything else. I know the Bucks do things within the company. I know Kenny Omega does things within the company. And I know Cody was doing things within the company, but I think the loss in power did not help him at all. So yeah, it's kind of a sad situation. I think, I don't want to say it speaks to AEW a little bit in terms of the fact that one of the founding members of the company left after 3 years. Like, I don't want to say it's an entire slight on AEW, but it really makes you kind of take a hard look at them because it's like, wow, really? Like, this was supposedly Cody's passion project. This is supposedly what Cody wanted to do. This was like the way that they talked about it and the way that they did everything and all the shots and everything that was taken and just everything that's been done up until this point, right?
Yeah.
It just really makes you think and it really makes you wonder because it makes you look at AEW and it kind of makes you look at Cody too and it kind of makes you question Cody's motivation. Like, I don't want to say that because that's mean, but it just makes you wonder because Cody's whole goal since he left WWE, however many years ago it was, what, seven? Five? Seven?
It's been almost 6 years.
It was close.
Almost 6 years. 6 years this May.
6 years this May. So Cody walked out on his contract 6 years this May. And his whole mission was to basically show WWE that he could be a top guy. Because that's what he wanted to do in WWE. He wanted to be basically in Roman Reigns' position. He wants to be the number one guy, the top paid guy, the champion. And that's everybody's goal. And good on him. I didn't necessarily agree with the way that he walked out of the company at the time, just like I didn't agree when Punk did it, but you know what? It's water on the bridge, you do you, man.
Cody's was less of a walkout, more of an asking for release, and he actually got his.
No.
Yeah.
No, he walked out, remember? Because he had like a year, because Brandy's deal was expiring.
Okay, well, he didn't walk out like Cody walked out of the building, Punk Rock walked out of the building. That's more what I meant.
Yeah, but he just basically, he reneged on his contract, where he had like a year left on his deal, and he wanted to be released, and I think he refused to come back, and they finally let him go, but they held on to the name and the trademark on Rhodes, and that was the whole, like, kind of middle finger back to him, because there was a whole dicking contest about the name where they wouldn't let him have the Rhodes name.
That took 2 years, almost.
To get it, just like to get the WCW trademarks.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he pissed him off.
He pissed him off. And, you know, Ash, yes, Dustin is still with AEW. He is sticking with that company.
He's staying there. He's happy there, which good for him. But, I mean, that's what Cody wanted to do. So he went to Japan because he had never worked the indies. Like, Cody went into OVW pretty much straight out of high school. And that's where he was, mm-hmm. was in OVW. And he came up through the WWE farm system. He was in WWE for his whole career, so he wanted to go out. He wanted to work the indies, so he went to Japan, and he worked in Japan. And then he came back to the U.S., and he did ROH, and he did some other stuff. And then that's kind of where AEW got its start. And he has rebuilt himself, because he was Stardust in WWE. Yes. And he wanted to get away from it, and they wouldn't take him away from it, because it was a really profitable gimmick for him. It was... out of everything he had done, it was working for him, right? Although they never gave the grotesque thing a chance. That was my favorite one that he did. I always liked that one.
So a couple things. Do you know who Cody Rhodes' role model is?
Triple H.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how they've had a similar tumble, isn't it?
Yeah. It is very similar. But yeah, Cody wanted, like, he adores Triple H, is why, you know, he sees himself in him in kind of ways. And how he booked and his father and everything like that. So he has a lot of respect for Triple H. You wouldn't know about his attitude on television sometimes, but he does.
Right.
But, like, it became an op. How it all's going down is Cody sees himself in a position of top guy. He sees himself wanting to control him, everything he does and make the money of a top guy. But when you bring in other top guys, you become a number rather than, you know, the guy, which is, you know, what he's become. He's moved down the ranking because they're building people up and he's kind of sliding down, and the whole Codyverse thing and all some of the things he's attempted probably, you know, made Tony Khan go, can I trust him to handle his own creative these days? Because, well, it's not really working. So that's led to the falling out between Cody and Tony, because there's a difference of opinions on what one person believes they are and what the other sees them as. And that goes all the way back to his time in WWE. Cody sees himself as something different than what others see him. And that's great. That's great to have the confidence of being, I'm the man. Because if you don't think you're the man, what are you doing? Let's be real. If you don't think you're the man, no business being in there anyway.
Right.
We said it 3 weeks ago when the news sort of came out about Cody, right? How did it ever get to this point of him working with no contract? Now we know. Because when you hear things about the rest of the locker room and some contracts that have been renewed and picked up, they've been picked up early. They never got to this point. Why did Cody get to free agency? If he was the cornerstone of the company, how did we ever get here? So you always have to wonder why and how and all these things. And now you're kind of learning how and why. You'll never know the real story because they've agreed, apparently, to not talk about it. Which, whenever you agree to never talk about something, means there's something there. Because you don't just disagree to never talk about it in public if there's nothing wrong. You know?
Yep.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah, the whole we're not going to talk about it in public thing is a little weird to me. Especially because they publicized it. Like, it's one thing for Cody and Tony to be like, it's a private situation, I'm not going to discuss it. That is completely fine. But for them both to be like, we have agreed not to discuss this publicly, that's almost lawyers. That's kind of on the level of when Cody exited the company, I have to question if he didn't get, or that didn't get negotiated into the termination and separation of his handshake deal, I guess, with Tony. Or I don't even know why they would need separation, because Cody wasn't under contract unless he had other legal obligations to the company. That's a whole other thing. But like, basically that the lawyers negotiated that out, that, hey, we're not, and by the way, this is all confidential. None of this gets brought up. It's all getting sealed. Nothing is ever getting out.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder how severe the problems and the relationship really are. Cause ultimately it's like kiss, kiss, hug, hug, make nice on the way out, right? On both sides, leave the door open for him to come back through should he ever want to. But I get this impression that perhaps maybe the door isn't as open as we thought, because here's my thought. Cody had an extension on his contract. Tony didn't activate it.
Yeah, the rollover option, yeah.
It didn't get activated.
Nope.
On Jericho, it did.
Yep.
On Cody, it didn't. So either Cody refused it to be activated, or Tony didn't possibly want to retain Cody.
You can't refuse if it's an owner's option. Cody would have no choice. That's the thing. If it's a Tony option, where it's an automatic renewal, that's not a Cody choice. That's a Tony choice not to do it. Just saying. So Cody's going to be mostly okay. So let's clear up something. It's not a work, because if you work the boys, you lose the boys. Number one. Number two. This being a work and Cody using this to walk back in through the forbidden door to become AEW world champion? No. Cody's walked through the door. He's left. The door's been closed. It's not locked, but it's closed. And Cody has headed elsewhere. You also don't leave this to go to the NWA or New Japan. Because guess what? New Japan likes their deal with AEW more than they probably like Cody. So where is Cody going? He's not going to Impact. So, WrestleMania.
Can I just say this? It's not forbidden if he leaves and comes back. Forbidden implies that he went somewhere that he's not supposed to or that he's not allowed to come back from. So you can't say that, oh, Cody's going to walk back through the forbidden door after he leaves and doesn't sign anywhere else, because that's not how it works. I'm sorry, it's just a return. I know you guys really, really, really love your forbidden door, but at this point it is the most overused phrase in all of professional wrestling, and I'm tired of it. Y'all don't even know what it means.
Tony doesn't even.
No one does. I don't think anybody knows what it means anymore. It's just there. And it's like, good lord, y'all, just stop with your forbidden door bullshit. Just stop. Okay? Like, if it is a work, I will give credit where credit is due. It's brilliant, right? It's a brilliant work. Cody leaves, you know, he gets all this attention, he gets all this press, he gets all these things, and then he comes back. And you're basically throwing the dice that Cody, that this is going to be enough, that it redeems Cody in the fans' eyes, and they cheer for him when he comes back, right? Because Cody was getting booed. So here's the trouble. What happens if this is a work? They roll those dice and they lose and Cody still gets booed. Do you then have to lean in the boos and turn Cody heel? Does Cody come back as a heel? Like, what is it? What does it all mean, basically? Where do you go from there? It's a huge gamble to do this if this is a work. Unless you're just going to debut a completely new character for Cody when he comes back. I don't ascribe to the fact that it's a work because Brandi left. Brandi gave up all the power that she had. She gave up everything in AEW and she has left the company. She's no longer doing anything with it. So that tells me right there that it's more than likely legit.
You don't put out statements if people stay.
You don't get lawyers involved.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens next with Cody.
We'll see. I mean, he could be in Saudi Arabia. He could show up at Chamber on Saturday. Nobody knows. He could show up when they get back to the U.S.
I'd save it for the U.S., but it'd be funny if it was in Saudi. Bigger pop would be in the U.S.
But you have Cody Rhodes show up, and he screws somebody over, and that's how he gets into WrestleMania. Because you only have, I mean, coming out of Chamber, you only have, what, a month, 6 weeks to build a WrestleMania? It's kind of a now or never sort of thing, but if you're going to do something big, if you're going to make a statement, why not do it in Saudi? I'm sure they would love it. And they're all about making the prince and the people happy over there, so...
You put them in polka dots and call them Dusty.
God. No! Here's the thing. Okay, alright. I'm going to say this. This is going to be very mean. I'm half sorry for it. AEW is all about making a splash. They're all about making big surprises, big statements, throwing stuff out there, right? Everybody with me on that?
Uh-huh.
What makes a bigger splash than to have the former EVP of AEW show up at Chamber on a major pay-per-view, especially where he's partially anticipated, where he's been anticipated, where the rumors are swirling and they seize the rumors and they jump on the rumors and they debut Cody?
Okay.
Like, nothing makes a bigger splash than that.
No.
Like, nothing. Or you don't even have to debut Cody. You just have a picture of Cody and Nick Khan get thrown out there.
That'd be a funny one.
You know, there's a lot of ways that they can seize the opportunity, but I promise you that it's basically a way that, you know, after, what, 3 years of shots and innuendo and everything else that have been taken, where WWE has more or less not responded, there have been a couple instances, but more or less not responded, that they roll up to Saudi with Cody Rhodes, or they roll up on Monday Night Raw with Cody Rhodes, and then they roll into Dallas at WrestleMania, and they have him there.
My closing statement on this one, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, WWE Championship.
I mean, I can think of worse things.
If Hunter was healthy, that's what you do, but Hunter's not healthy to do a point.
We don't know what Hunter's health is.
He's getting better.
I mean, I hope he's genuinely okay.
He's getting better.
Because dang.
But we have other news we need to get into, presented by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211.
We do. Sticking with AEW, AEW has announced that they will do an AEW Music Live the day before the Revolution pay-per-view. It is $20, but you can go hear some of your favorite superstars, entrance themes, and other music. So go check it out.
Yeah, AEW Music Live, headlined by AEW's in-house producer Mickey Reckus, and features the live band and support from rappers Moneezy, who contributed to AEW TNT champion Sammy Guevara's theme song Take Flight, and Russell and Flo, known for Sean Spears and Serena Deeb's AEW themes. Both rappers were integral contributors to Who We Are, and the performance during the concert will include both original AEW themes and songs from the upcoming album. Tickets on sale now on Saturday, March 5th, 8 p.m., with the show starting at 8:30.
Ding.
And that will be in Florida somewhere.
We don't know where.
Orlando. There it is. I was looking for it.
We know where.
The venue at UCF. Wasn't that where the Thunderdome was?
I think one of them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where they're at. That's where they're doing Revolution from. So there you go. That's your AEW news.
So moving on to the other category real quick, Deonna Purrazzo and Steve McClinn.
Macklin.
Sorry, McClinn.
AKA Steve Cutler.
Oh, there we go. Do you know what? Deonna Purrazzo and Steve Cutler are engaged, so congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to WWE. It's a sad, sad day, y'all. 205 Live is no more. The brand has bit the dust officially, and it is now NXT Level Up.
Cool name.
I like it. It's a good name. I mean, it's the secondary show. I don't have any problems with this. I can't say anything about it beyond I like the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's the continuing the rebrand of NXT on the whole. They had kind of gotten 205 Live because reasons. Mainly because of the pandemic. And so they just decided to rebrand it along with NXT 2.0. So can't see anything wrong with it. Woods needs to be the GM of it. They don't do GMs anymore, Brent. But Woods totally should be the GM.
Only in the brand new video game WWE 2K22, where you could be the GM in my GM mode. Dang.
Hey.
More on that in like 3 weeks.
By the way, did you highlight the thing in the sheet for a reason, or is it just...
One thing. Oh, because I copied and pasted something.
Oh. Also in the news, Corey and Carmella have a reality series that is headed to WWE YouTube on February 28th, so that'll be interesting to check out.
Yeah, so a company came to them, didn't know they were part of WWE because they heard their podcast or whatever, and wanted to do a reality series with them, so they talked to WWE, and it's going to go to be on, like 4-minute episodes on the WWE YouTube channel. It's all one of the pilot, so it's broken down in multiple pieces. I think it's all going to air on February 28th, so go check out Corey and Carmella, the reality series, only on WWE YouTube.
Ding! Moving on, John Cena is going to be in a Looney Tunes movie, which is Acme versus Coyote.
Coyote versus Acme, which is based on a New York Humor article of the same name, written by Ian Frazier and first published in 1990. The film will tell the story of a down-on-his-luck attorney who takes on Wild E. Coyote as a client in a lawsuit against the Acme Corporation over its many defective products, only to discover that the boss of the former law firm is representing Acme. Cena will play the Acme lawyer in the Looney Tunes movie, which is due to enter production in New Mexico this March.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. I don't know if I like it or I hate it, but it should be interesting.
It should be cool. We'll see.
We'll see. And last but not least, for WWE, WWE has named Fitterman Sports as its the official autograph partner of WWE. The multi-year deal includes autograph signing sessions featuring WWE superstars, legends, and Hall of Famers, and they had Taker out.
They did.
Signing.
They did. So Fitterman Sports represents a lot of big-time legend at their athletes and such. So that's a
huge win for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that this is a good get for them. So they represent Mike Tyson and a bunch of others. So it's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So moving on, let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
It was Vengeance Day. And it opened with a weaponized steel cage match featuring Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo.
Honestly, this was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Tony D'Angelo showed up. He held his own against Peter Dunne. I was here for it.
I quite liked this. This was actually very good, all things considered. I mean, I didn't know what to expect from this because, honestly, Tony D'Angelo hasn't done that much in the ring. And what I've seen has just been sort of okay, but it's like I know Pete's solid, so I didn't have like the highest expectations coming into this, but I thought they did very, very well. We got a little kinky at points. We had some handcuffs or some like zip tie handcuffs.
That was a fun spot,
you know,
and it was creative how he had to get him out of it. Mm-hmm. Because Peter wrapped his arms around his neck and was choking him out, so he had to cut himself out somehow. That was nice.
That was a good spot. Like, that was very creative. Like, there was a lot of creative stuff in here. I liked it. And Tony even got a little bit of an entrance where he rolled up in the town car and gets out looking all mobster-like. So this was good. I liked this.
Peter Dunne would end up getting the victory.
Ding.
We had Cora Jay being woken up by Raquel Gonzalez and them having to work out. Because, you know, you got to train hard to win a tournament.
Okay.
We had Toxic Attraction defend the NXT Women's Tag Team titles against Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada. Solid, man.
I was a little sad that Indy lost. There was a really weird spot where I guess she got flipped into the ring, but I didn't see the person flip her. I just saw Indy do the flip, and it was really, really, really strange looking.
I don't remember that spot, so I can't.
It just sticks out in my mind because I just saw Indy get flipped into the ring, and I was like, and then you see the head of the person, I forget who it was, but they were like sneaking back off to their corner, but it was like, because Indy was like full on standing. So for the person to even flip her in, it was like they wouldn't have the leverage based on the stance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a really weird spot the way that Indy came in the ring. But beyond that, this was fine.
The champs would end up retaining. Wendy Chu asked Dakota to be her partner. I'm okay with them pairing up.
I'm here for this. The kind of the oddball tag team. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Brooks Jensen is in the friend zone.
Aww.
So there was that. We had Grayson Waller and LA Knight. Grayson Waller came with the cops. Grayson wanted to get him arrested, but then they showed some video, and well, police are like, no, we're good. You attacked him and all this stuff, and yeah, it doesn't matter. Go on and go forth. So they get attacked, and they're going to get a match next week. So they're building to it.
This was such a strange segment. Not strange bad. It was just strange in a lot of ways.
Brent has your answer, by the way.
Brent has my answer, by the way. JC. Ah, okay. That's my answer. Okay. Yeah, this was good. This was fine. It was just, this was very bizarre. Because here's the thing, right? Like, you have them, like, Grayson pull up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cops are already there. And the lights are flashing. And it's like, wait. Is he getting arrested? Why is he getting arrested? And then you find out, no, it's for LA Knight. Because Grayson has a restraining order or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, then why are they there flashing their lights? The cops wouldn't be there flashing their lights.
Over dramatic television.
I understand that, but it's like, it was really confusing because it's just, you see it and you're like, who the hell is getting arrested right now? And then they go to the ring and it's like, well, you didn't even need to turn the lights on for that. You could have just had them walk out to the ring. Good job on the cop uniforms, though. They got quality rent-a-cop uniforms.
They did. Indy and Persia were talking, consoling each other after the loss. They said, the Leonard, that's a classic, and get another shot of titles. Dexter came and walked off Indy, and then Two Cuts and walked off with Persia.
The tension is building. Could Persia be up to something?
I think she is. Tommaso talked about how people think they are better than him because of his accomplishments occurred in what considered a farm system. He said Dolph Ziggler thinks he's better than him, but shouldn't mistake his loyalty for weakness.
Ooh.
Carmella Hayes, Cameron Grimes, NXT North American Championship.
This was good.
Good match.
This was very good. I do have one problem.
What's that?
It's when they were walking in from the parking lot.
Okay.
And you have Carmelo coming in, and he's all cocksure, and he's all hyped, and he's all, you know, excited, and all these things, right? And you have him walk past the girl in the parking lot, but it's like the hot girl in the parking lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, hey, what's up, kind of thing. And then they cut to Cameron walking in, and it's a bunch of people in, like, suits and ties.
What are you saying?
It was just a tad cringy. That's all I'm going to say. It was just a tad cringe. Like, you didn't really need to have anybody in the parking lot for either one, but it was just like, I don't know about that.
Carmelo would end up retaining.
But yeah, the match was very, very good. This is one of the best showings for both of them that I've seen to date. And it made Carmelo look like $1 million.
Kaylee Ray was smashing things.
Io helped.
Io helped.
Zoe was stunned.
They're getting on the same page.
Io was like, I like her. I like her a lot.
All right, it's time for the men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic finale. The Creed brothers of the Diamond Mine taking on MSK. Malcolm Bivens came out with a John Cena never give up. Nah, you should tell.
That is genius.
That was so good. This was a really good match with the Creed brothers getting the win and winning the Dusty Cup. Malcolm Bivens was so happy, overjoyed.
Malcolm Bivens is worth his weight in gold. I'm sorry. He just is. He's so, so, so good.
Mm-hmm. We had Gunther in the ring talking, correcting the fans for chanting Walter. They congratulated the Creed brothers for winning their Dusty Cups, but they wouldn't be ready to face them for the tag titles. They talked about the NXT Championship, and then they were interrupted by Sol Sioka. He said that on the island they find the biggest and baddest guy and smack the taste out of his mouth, and that's what he's looking to do. So it looks like he's going to be challenging Gunther here soon.
I still like the name Walter better.
Everyone does. Dolph was backstage. He spoke about talking about Ciampa, said that he plans on, I think, Ciampa's hopes of becoming NXT champion by beating him next week. He said he'll be watching closely to the main event tonight. Also, Peter Dunne and Carmella had a stare down.
Awkward.
And then your main event, Santos Escobar, Braun Breaker, NXT Championship. Good match.
This is very good. I enjoyed this. Santos's hair has gotten long. Like, super duper long. I don't know why I just noticed it now, but, like, it's getting long.
You had Ziggler and Ciampa involvement on the outside, but didn't play much into the match, as Braun Breaker would end up getting the win to end Vengeance Day. Good show.
This is a very good show. I like this. It did have a lot of filler. That would be my, like, one complaint about it, was there was a lot of time in between matches that had backstage segments or had promos.
Would you like to know why?
Why?
The first hour, it was limited commercials during the show.
I know, but...
they wanted to make sure you knew.
Yeah. Also, I wasn't a fan of the opening package of this.
The text messaging?
The text messaging, basically the Mean Girls spoof. I just was not a fan of it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. I'm sure other people did, but that's just my personal feelings on it. Like, can we please give them some substance? Something? Anything other than, oh my god, I'm like so hot. Look at me. You'll never look like this. Like, oh my god. Please, can we just do something else? Please, please. But anyway, that's NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be reviewing Elimination Chamber, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Are you a fan of Genshin Impact? Then join Lindsay for Genshin Impact live streams. Follow her through the magical world of Genshin as she fights off all of the creatures on the island, finishes her tasks, and yells at the characters. All live streams can be found on YouTube. Just search for Linsword or go to linsword.rackradioshow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Linsword. That's LINSWARD to know when she goes live. You can also use creator code LINSMWARD in the Epic Game Store because she is a hashtag Epic partner.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bye!
event.
CB Radio. Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel the regular way, hang out and chat, listen to the archive, you know, or subscribe the regular way. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm just going to warn everybody right now, we are having weather in Georgia. My weather alert radio went off during the break, so if it goes off again, I'm really, 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 truly sorry, because it's like 6 feet away from me. It's going to be really loud. So I'm going to try and keep my mic muted as much as possible in case it does go off again, but hopefully it doesn't. Like, hopefully we don't escalate from a thunderstorm warning.
I'm going to interrupt. Chat, anytime you hear it, you take a shot.
No, we are not taking shots to my weather alert radio.
Chat, you take a shot every time her alert goes off.
No, don't do that. Because the next time it goes off, it's probably going to be for a tornado. I'm just telling everybody that right now. So, yeah, with that, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Atlee Green. Mattel must be angry over Cody possibly going to WWE because now they have to put that damn tattoo on all his action figures. Koidao. I said, welcome to hell, one time. Zach Aguilar. Ah, yes, your catchphrase. Koidao. I've got something else you can catch. Zach Aguilar. D's? Koidao. D's respectful request to delete your account. And somebody goes, no, not the verified one. Because Koi is sadly not verified. Koidao. Trying to take initiative and hang out with more friends this year, but they keep using the pandemic as an excuse. Zach Aguilar. Where's my invite? Koidao. Beat it, butt licker. Laura Stahl. Koi. He responds, I'm sorry. It's just that there's a pandemic. Laura responds, Koi. He responds, that's me. And then she goes, and shows a picture of her walking out the door. And then he puts a screaming cat picture. And Zach Aguilar responds, I come back and all I see is the entire village up in flames. I love their friendship.
So Tuesday.
Kayla Braxton. Just noticed my credit card was missing. Check my bank statement. And the only charge made on it was a $50 charge at Taco Bell. I am both proud of them for being able to buy $50 worth of Taco Bell, and disappointed in them that that's all they tried to purchase with a lost card. I mean, how much food do you have to buy to hit $50 Taco Bell? Jesus.
That's a lot of food.
You're buying for, like, the whole neighborhood.
Shame Brent left to come back home, because he would have told you.
Brent, how much does it cost? Like, how much food do you have to buy at Taco Bell to hit $50? Tell us.
We'll have to ask him later.
We will.
That's it.
I'm Amethyst,
I should say. My boyfriend falls asleep to Landmark's dream and not mine. Feels bad, man. Trevor May. I'm at the local school field throwing today, and a couple kids come up and say, "Hey, you look really familiar. Are you Trevor May?" I'm thinking they're a fan of the high cheese. Is Tim the Tap Man really that funny IRL? He posts emojis from smiling to sadness.
Aww.
The response, nah. Also, Trevor May admitted something that you should never admit, Lindsay.
Okay, what?
I owned a Zune. You should never tell the world you owned a Zune.
What's a Zune?
Do you not even know what it is?
I don't think I know what it is.
It was Microsoft's version of the iPod. It was their failed iPod.
I don't even remember that.
You don't remember Zune?
I don't remember Zune.
God. Anyway, ProWrestling.net. Tails always fails. You suck, Coin. I hope you die. Gabe Sapolsky. The Coinbase app crashing is worse than the Evolve stream crashing during 2014 WrestleMania weekend. Hashtag house the stream.
Damn!
If anyone wouldn't know about Evolve streams dying during a big event, it would be Gabe Sapolsky. Shihan. Matthew Stafford heard Lose Yourself and immediately decided he was back in Detroit. So guys, in case you're aware, the Super Bowl happened on Sunday. The most electrifying man in all of entertainment did the introduction. So the fine folks of the NFL YouTube decided to put the intro on their YouTube and titled it "Guy from Fortnite with the Most Electrifying Introduction in Super Bowl History." Ninja shows this and goes, "Weird. Must have missed this phone call." Because, you know, he's the guy from Fortnite.
Only the real ones did the "and millions" after he said it.
In front of the millions.
And millions.
Eric Pulshark, 56 world championships in the NFL, and America won each of them. Hashtag freedom. TMZ tweeted about Aaron Rodgers and Shalani Woodley, whatever his girlfriend's name was, reportedly called off their engagement. Nicole Arkbach goes, "Aaron Rodgers still searching for that second ring."
Ooh, damn.
Cousin Sal, please respect Aaron's privacy as he does his own research in the hopes of figuring out what went wrong. And finally, Corey Graves. If you want to know how my day is going, I just sent a lovey-dovey goodnight text for Carmella to my boss. Jet lag is real.
Damn. Wait, which boss? Did he send it to Vince?
He may have sent it to Vince.
Damn. Screenshots.
Screenshots or it didn't happen. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, so jet lag is a real thing because WWE has arrived in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia for Elimination Chamber, which airs this Saturday starting at noon Eastern in the U.S. It will be available on Peacock here, and it will be available on the WWE Network everywhere else, so go check that out. And well, we have stuff to discuss in terms of matches.
We do. Let's get break down the matches, shall we?
We shall. Let's go. So, first things first, I'm not sure if there's going to be a pre-show match.
There probably will be. Maybe one of these matches gets moved up to it, or there's people flown in to do a pre-show match. We don't know,
but we're just going to start at the top of the list, and we're going to work our way down.
Okay.
So, Falls Count Anywhere match, Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss.
We've seen it. It was on day one, hold up your finger.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't great either. I'm not... It's sort of more of the same, I think. I don't know why. I figured, okay, we did the one match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get Drew versus Happy? Why is Madcap still being a thing? That's where I'm at with it. It's like, why is this still a thing?
I don't know, but I saw a screen cap from this where Madcap had a black eye and he was wearing his suspenders and Drew was just staring at him menacingly with his big sword and they were both topless and it was very weird.
So what happened in that scene happened on SmackDown where Madcap was talking about his eye and how he cannot compete at Elimination Chamber, and then Drew showed up with his big mighty sword and said, "You are competing."
Drew... Honey, you cannot threaten to stab people.
He threatened to stab him with the sword.
That's not what that's for.
It's what
it's
he did.
It's a prop.
It's not a prop to him. It's he's carrying around a big giant sword and he's going to show people it.
He can't.
Menacingly.
This is not Genshin. You just can't roll up and beat people up with a sword.
You can't. There, it's falls count anywhere in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
What?
Damn.
Am I wrong, though?
Not with a sword.
Are you sure?
No stabby stabby.
Are you sure?
No stabby stabby. No.
Are you sure?
We cannot do the stabby stabby. Wherever it is, murder is wrong. Attempted murder is wrong.
I'm not disagreeing, but it's Saudi Arabia. Anything can happen.
Please tweet all complaints to media or Flames Forums.
At Flames Forums. Do a complaint command.
Anyway, who do we think's gonna win?
Drew, of course.
Of course, Drew.
Magic 8 Ball. Is Drew McIntyre going to stab Had a Magic 8 Ball. Will Drew
no,
McIntyre...
ask it. Is Drew McIntyre going to stab Matt Camelot?
She asked it. Better not tell you.
Oh, no.
But Magic 8 Ball, will Drew McIntyre beat Matt Camelot? Don't count on... Oh.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, my.
Wheel.
No.
Wrestler 3.
No.
Yes.
No.
Write it down. Wrestler 3.
No.
It's
Wrestler 3. No.
Wrestler 2.
There you go. That would be Madcap Moss.
All right. They're both in agreement. Hmm.
All right. What's next?
How the hell did we get here? Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio.
That's wrong. I wrote that wrong.
You wrote that wrong?
Yeah. It's Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. I don't know.
I was going to say, like, I'm sure that's going to happen eventually, that's but like, wait. I don't remember this being on Raw.
That was my bad. I didn't even notice it. That was just autopilot writing. We'll change that. Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. I was probably thinking Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. That was probably what was in my head when I was writing it.
I mean, you know, I'm sure it'll happen at some point. I'm sure he'll fight his father because that's what they do. But wrestlers, they fight their fathers.
Hold on. At least it's one no DQ. It's not no DQ. It is no DQ match. It can happen. False count anywhere is no DQ. Hey,
yeah, Rey Mysterio
versus The Miz. I mean,
this is random.
I mean, they've been building it for the last couple weeks on Raw. It doesn't mean I'm excited.
Yeah, it's just kind of there. I'm gonna be honest, and this is no offense to anybody involved. It's a filler.
Do you know what it is?
Hmm.
It's a way to get the cover athlete of WWE 2K22 on your premium live event to promote the upcoming video game WWE 2K22, which is coming out March 8th if you pre-order, March 11th if you don't. Pre-order now. Ding.
Ding.
More coming soon around that time.
I thought it was a way to get Rey Mysterio to Saudi Arabia, so, you know.
That too.
I thought it was more that than anything else.
I mean, it's going to be fine, whatever it is. The match itself will be fine. It's not going to be bad. It's Rey Mysterio and Miz, two professionals.
It'll be very, very, very good. Like, it will be enjoyable. I'm not necessarily looking forward to it. Like, I don't want to say that I'm looking forward to it because I'm not. It's not like anything that I have to, like, oh my god, I'm going to die if I don't see kind of thing. But it's going to be good. It'll be entertaining.
Ash, no. It'll be a match that will be fit in between the two chambers, to sort of be a cool down. It's going to be in between two chambers, in between a title match. It's your cool down match to keep, but it's big because it's Saudi fans are big Rey Mysterio people and Miz people, so, you know, their names, they're big names that people like to say.
With The Undertaker retiring.
You now have Rey Mysterio making the tours.
Yeah, somebody has to go over and be the legacy star in Saudi, and Rey Mysterio has been tapped to do that. Although Taker may show up and intro Pitbull again. We don't know.
That's later in the year.
He could.
He could. He definitely could.
He could go over.
He definitely could go over.
He still has the rat tail, so, you know.
He still has the rat tail.
I weep. I just weep for that man's hair. He's so beautiful. Anyway, Ronda Rousey.
Hold on.
Oh, wait,
we
have to do the eight ball.
We have to make picks and do the thing.
She went into full-on mourning for Taker's hair and was like...
I'm over it. I'm going Ray. You're going...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going Ray.
Eight ball, does Miz win? Ask again later. Okay, Magic Eight Ball. Will Rey Mysterio beat the Miz? Better not tell me. Okay, so that's a no. So, Will.
Wrestler 2.
That would be the Miz.
Mm.
So the inanimate objects are staying on the same side for two matches in a row. So let's go to the next one.
They're teaming. That's scary.
They are.
In what is an interesting turn of events, and I'm curious to see how this is going to work, Ronda Rousey and Naomi are taking on Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville.
So we all know the story between Sonya and Naomi, and it's been building for a while now, and Naomi and Charlotte had a really good match on SmackDown, and Ronda's back.
And Ronda wants Charlotte.
And Ronda wants Charlotte, and she's going to get her at WrestleMania. So this is where things, come to a head. It's a magic way to get women on the show, and it's a way to get women on the Saudi show. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 women, something like that, on
this show. To get Ronda Rousey on the show.
Another way to get Ronda Rousey. This is your typical men's booking before WrestleMania. You have people team. You have the two people going ahead in WrestleMania on opposite sides in a tag match. Holla holla, player. So, spoiler alert. Tomorrow night on SmackDown, they're going to announce a stipulation where Ronda Rousey supposedly mentioned she can beat them with one arm time behind her back.
No.
So that could be that could be the storyline going
no.
into
it.
It's also
no.
a way to it's from a story standpoint or from a realistic standpoint, it's a way to keep her out of the ring and not have her do much. Because she's still training to get back into full shape.
No.
But it's a thing.
It shouldn't be.
But it is.
It shouldn't be.
So if I'm WWE, I keep Charlotte and Ronda apart for a majority of the match. Have her get a couple shots in on Charlotte. But don't make that the focus. Make Naomi versus Charlotte. Make Naomi versus Sonya the focus. Give Ronda a hot tag. Let her get some big spots in and have Charlotte bail out and not really do much with Ronda to save it for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Honestly, make it all about Naomi and Sonya and, kind of keep Charlotte and Ronda out of the ring and let Naomi and Sonya work it out.
Yeah.
And show what they can do. Because isn't there also a stip that if, Sonya loses, she's done or something like that?
No. That was, if she had to stay out of the Naomi-Charlotte match last week, which she did. Because Vince was mad.
Vince had a mad?
Because Sonya was doing Vince McMahon-like things and interfering and abusing power. Vince McMahon never would do such a thing, by God. Who's winning?
I have to go with Ronda and Naomi, right?
That would be the good thought on this one. Yeah.
You're not going to have, unless something happens where because of the stip, Ronda loses, but I feel like you can't make the claim, I can beat you with one arm tied behind my back and not win, especially if you're Ronda Rousey, right?
And with all the losing Naomi's been doing a lot lately, Naomi's got to get the win.
Yeah. They got to do the thing for Naomi.
So I'm going Ronda and Naomi. You're going Ronda and Naomi. Hey, Paul, does Ronda and Naomi win? Don't count. Oh, wow.
Damn.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
That'd be Charlotte and Sonya. All right, what's next?
Up next, we have, for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, Ships and Talk, the Usos taking on the Viking Raiders.
This should be good.
Should be very good.
If
they give them time.
And they'll get some time. I just don't see the Viking Raiders winning. I really like them, and I really think they're a good tag team. I don't think they're the next team in line to get the tag titles off the Usos. We're this far to WrestleMania. I say we wait to WrestleMania now. If you weren't going to change them before to the New Day, I don't think the Viking Raiders right now are the ones to get the belts. I don't feel the urgency that's there for them yet.
I don't see a need to change the titles. I really, really, really don't. The Usos are going strong with them. I love the Viking Raiders, don't get me wrong, but I feel like this is kind of out of nowhere, and there's no need to change them. I feel like you could do it at Mania, because for some reason, I feel like the Bloodline is going to suffer a crippling defeat at WrestleMania, hopefully.
We've been saying that for a while now, but yeah.
It's got to come eventually.
I know. We'll see,
though. They have to do the thing eventually, so I say the Usos.
You say the Usos?
I say the Usos.
I'm going to have the Usos retain. Magic 8-Ball, do the Usos retain? Yes. Definitely. And Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Viking Raiders. What's next?
Okay. This be the fun one, y'all. The WWE Raw Women's Championship. Becky Lynch versus Lita.
This should be very interesting.
I'm very curious about this match. This is Lita's return in terms of WWE. She has not wrestled in quite a long time. I want to say at least, 10 years?
Well, she's had matches, but because she was she's been in the Rumble. She did Evolution, where she tagged with Trish. But this is where I'm going to have to look things up. Pro Wrestling Fight database to find out when Lita's actual last match. It's been a long time since she's had a traditional singles match, especially in WWE. The last credited singles match they gave her was Lita versus Heath Slater at Raw 1000. But for her, in terms of WWE, it's been since November 26, 2006. I know she did a couple on the indies, but that's the indies. So this is her first real match in 16 years, 15 and a half years. It's a long time.
It's a very long time.
There are expectations on this matchup to deliver. You know, Lita's been, this was never the plan. They brought this opportunity to Lita and going, hey, would you like to do this? So she's been training. They got in the ring for the Royal Rumble, and then they proposed this, and let's see what you got. This is when you go, hey, is it a dream match? Yeah. You never thought you were going to get this matchup because Lita was, again, we keep saying with WWE, retired because of neck injuries, and you never think they would return because, you know, things could happen. Seems to be the theme lately.
There's a recurring theme of people getting cleared.
Yeah, but she's been cleared for a while. She's been healthy for a while. They just have it. This is the right opportunity. Does Lita stand a chance at winning? No, but that's okay because we all know Becky's greater purpose is to go to WrestleMania as champion. Doesn't mean they can't deliver a good match. I'm going to limit it as good. I don't think this will be great because of the limitations they have of where they're at.
Yeah, I kind of am a little sad this is happening in Saudi and it didn't happen here in the States because I feel like they really would try to go, and they may still try to go because the last time the ladies were there, they did get to work a lot more than they have in the past.
I mean, they're in a chamber this time around. They're able to go, but it's just like crowd reaction wise, it's one of those will they or won't they, you know, pull through type things, you know?
Yeah, and I think they'll do enough. I think this will be good. I don't know if this is going to be a blowout or not. I think they might, like, I don't know what Lita's limitations are. I don't even know if she even has any. I also don't know if they're maybe going to have them hold back because they don't want Becky to get hurt for WrestleMania. Because that's the last thing you want is for her to get injured, like, 6 weeks out from Mania.
Yeah.
When you're planning something big for her because her match is not decided yet. We don't know what's going to happen with her. So we don't even know if she's going to be champion heading into Mania. We assume she is, but we just don't know.
I would assume she is. But, yeah. So I would say limit your expectations to solid to good. And if it borders from good to great, then you got your money's worth. Is that a good descriptor?
That's a good descriptor.
By the way, I love how Becky's been playing it on Raw and stuff. And they're doing it right. They're giving you old Lita feels and giving you that belief that she can do it. We'll see what happens. I'm Team Becky on this one. But if they want to pull an upset and put Lita, give Lita a strap, I wouldn't say no, but I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening, but they could, just for shock value, because as Becky likes to say, she has not been beaten for the title since she won it off of Ronda, even though she did give it up to have a baby. But she has not been pinned for it. That is entirely accurate. So could Lita be the one to pin Becky? I don't know. I tend to doubt it. Like, I feel like they're going to save that moment for WrestleMania where you have somebody coming out of the chamber finally take that title off of Becky, because that's going to be like a money-making moment for a person to finally beat her for that title.
So I'm going Lita. You're going?
I'm going to say Becky.
Oh, I'm not. I mean, I'm going Becky. I don't know why I'm saying Lita. I'm going Becky.
I was going to say, I was sitting here, I was like, didn't you just like advocate for Becky?
Yeah, I'm going Becky. Like, I was autopilot. Yeah, I'm going Becky. You're going Becky. Abel. Becky? Nope.
Damn.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Damn. It's another for Lita. So we're split 50-50. That's been the theme tonight. So we either work on it really bad or really good.
Like, they are, the inanimate objects are against us tonight.
I mean,
like, wow.
I mean, didn't the, wasn't the 8-ball number one last time?
We don't talk about that. Moving on, the Universal Championship is on the line when Roman Reigns takes on contractual obligations. Why are we doing this?
What did you just say? What did you just say?
I don't care if he has one. You can burn it at a house show for all I care.
For that type of money, you cannot burn it at a house show.
The Universal Championship historically has a really bad record of changing hands in Saudi when contractual obligation is involved.
Not even Saudi. on this
just when
show,
he's involved.
When he's involved in February for the title is when it changes hands.
They can't do it to Roman. They cannot do it to Roman. They can't. But we said that about Bray, too, when he was the Fiend, and they put him up against Goldberg. It's like, Bray has to win, right? Like, he's the Fiend. You can't have Goldberg break the Fiend's streak of not being beaten. But like, you just can't.
You can't. But when it comes to Goldberg and his contractual obligation, you never say never, brother. Ooh, yeah, dig it. He's beaten Brock Lesnar, beaten Kevin Owens. He beat Bobby Lashley. He beat The Fiend, who says Roman Reigns is the next. I'm going Roman Reigns. I don't have the energy to make a case for Goldberg.
I can't do it. I don't want to do that to Roman. Like, no offense to Goldberg, but no. Just no. I don't want that. I don't want them to put the title onto Goldberg heading into WrestleMania. Like, I don't. Nobody wants that. I'm just going to speak for the entire internet. Nobody wants that.
I mean, I'm here for the backlash.
You're here. Of course. We're all here for the drama. But nobody, in actuality, outside the drama, nobody wants it. Like, it's because it creates a really super awkward moment. Because now you're, because you already had Goldberg pin the Fiend, right? And beat him for the title.
Yes.
Now you're going to say that Goldberg is more powerful than Roman Reigns?
Yes.
And Kevin Owens and all these other people? Like, no offense to Bill, but he's in his, what? He's in his late 40s, early 50s?
Goldberg. 55.
He's 55 years old. He is not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. He is still young. He's a middle-aged man. But you're going to tell me that a 55-year-old man can kick the shit out of a 30-something-year-old man who's in his prime, who's held the title for almost 2 years?
He's beat Brock Lesnar. He's beat Kevin Owens. He's beat The Fiend. He beat Bobby Lashley.
I just know. Don't do it. Just please don't do it. Nobody. We don't need this. We don't know. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. God, no. Please, no, no. Plus, doesn't he only have, like, this and maybe one more obligation and that's it?
This is the final obligation until they make a new contract.
Please do not make a new contract. No. Do not want. Roman Reigns. Just keep the title on Roman. Please don't cut Roman's dick off for this. Please don't.
Okay, so I'm going Roman. You're going Roman.
I'm going Roman.
Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
This is Roman. Magic 8-Ball. Is Roman Reigns next? Asking you later. Okay. Let me do this again. Hey, Magic 8-Ball. Is Roman Reigns next? Nope. Roman retains. All right, chamber matches. Let's go.
All right, so first up, the women's elimination chamber match, where you have Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki, A.S.H., and Alexa Bliss all vying for Becky Lynch's pending outcome title at WrestleMania. There's some possibilities here, including a couple we didn't consider.
There are some possibilities. All right. Fan of Doudrop, she is not going to main event WrestleMania with Becky Lynch. Sorry. Not happening.
It'd be cool, though.
Cool. But they had the match at Rumble. Nikki A.S.H., she's awesome. She's not going to main event WrestleMania. Then you have Rhea Ripley, who's been in that position. She fought for the... She was defending last year, right? Against Asuka, I think?
I think she was defending.
So, she's been in this position before. Which means she could be back in that same position again this year at WrestleMania. Because the way they, especially with the way they positioned her on Monday, where she's a legitimate threat to the championship. She was the challenger, and she won the belt at WrestleMania. That's what it was. Just giving all the facts. I would say she has a small chance of going to WrestleMania to fight for the title. There's Liv Morgan. Really digging how they've been pushing her. Really digging that they've given her an opportunity. I don't think her time is WrestleMania. I think we've kind of settled in where she's at for the moment. And that's a lot better than where she was 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for Nikki and same goes for Doudrop. They're in better positions than they were 6 months ago before Becky showed back up. They've been elevated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got two names. The EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, and Alexa Bliss. I think those are your two options.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, no offense to anybody else in this match. I think they have 100% cooled on Nikki A.S.H. I don't think they're going to necessarily give her a high-profile match at WrestleMania. I could be entirely wrong with that, but I think they're sort of like, okay, the superhero thing has run the course because they split her off from Rhea Ripley. And Nikki and Rhea are probably going to have a match at Mania, so I feel like those two cancel each other out. I love Doudrop. I don't think Doudrop's going to get the match either. Again, could be wrong. I think they've cooled on Liv Morgan a little bit. I don't think Liv did really what they wanted her to do. And part of that, I think, is not her fault, because I think they waited too long on pulling the trigger on her.
They gave her, Nikki the ball before Liv.
And you really had the moment to take the title off of Becky, even if it was only temporary. All of the momentum was behind Liv. Everybody was ready to see it. Everybody really wanted to see it, and they didn't do it. And that kind of took a lot of Liv's momentum. And then you went for the second match where you had Liv kind of rebuild the momentum. And then when she lost again, it just sort of took all the wind out of her sails for a while. And she sort of disappeared from the title picture and from TV, and they moved sort of Doudrop and some of the other women into that picture. The key for me is Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss, like you said. Bianca, the story with Bianca has sort of been lingering since SummerSlam, where Becky came back and Becky tricked Bianca into taking her title, right? So Bianca has never gotten payback on Becky for that. They had some matches, and then Bianca backed off, right? Because she tried to get her title back and Becky outsmarted her at every turn. So you have Bianca out there lingering, who should still really get payback for everything that she did over the summer for Becky. Then there's Alexa. Little Miss Bliss, who is making her triumphant return to TV after being gone since, what, October of last year?
September.
Of last year. And so she has gone through therapy. She's better, in quotations, and she's back and she's coming into the chamber. She could be your wild card in this, because she could easily beat all of these women and go on to face Becky at WrestleMania. A Becky versus Alexa feud, especially this Alexa, I would not frown at. But I also want Becky versus Bianca. Like, I really want them to give Bianca that moment, because I think she's earned it.
She is.
I think they all earned it.
They've all earned it. Like, before the mystery was revealed, this was pretty easy Bianca's match. Because you look at the people in the ring and you go, "This is Bianca's." Then she won the gauntlet on Monday over Rhea, so she stopped Rhea's momentum, but Rhea looked good. Bianca had worked the one match and got the win. You don't spend 6 weeks building up Alexa's return to have her lose. Like, that's the thing. Do you spend all that time building her up just for her to lose her first match back?
I mean, does it result in more therapy for her? Does it result in more, like, her going crazy? I don't know. But I'm kind of there with you. It's like, I'm Team Bianca, but at the same time, it's like, Alexa's coming back. This is her first time back in months. And then on top of that, she wasn't really actively wrestling that much before she left. So this is her big return to the ring, especially since Bray's departure.
She had a stuff with Eva and then she lost to Charlotte. It's Alexa losing, Bianca beating Alexa in the final two. I feel like it stops whatever you're trying to build with Alexa, unless she loses it and screws up and something. But I can't see them. I can't see it here. Like, the redemption arc is there. It's written in the stars dust. But, like, the Alexa factor is just so, it's a wild card.
The only thing way I can see Alexa losing is if she gets overpowered by, like, multiple people and they just get her out of the match super quick.
But then that just feels like a waste.
It is a waste, but if she's not going to win, you can't have her lose clean. Not unless you're going to set something up in terms of later, which you could. But God, I don't know. Like, this is super hard. Because before they threw Alexa in there, it's like, yeah, it's going to be Bianca, right? Like, we all know it's going to be Bianca. And then they throw Alexa in there. And it's like, oh, shit. What do we do? What do we pick?
Who's your pick?
I don't know.
Who's your pick? I'll give you mine.
Okay.
Go Bianca Belair. Here's another teaser. Liv Morgan pins Alexa Bliss.
You do Crazy Blonde Chick versus Crazy Blonde Chick?
Yep.
And you could. My heart's saying Bianca. Like, I have to go with Bianca. I'm sorry. Like, I can't. I want to pick Alexa, but it's like, I want the redemption arc between Bianca. I want Bianca to get the moment at Mania. I feel like she's deserved it. She's more than earned it. She's more than proven herself. They have a chance to make history in Saudi with Bianca. They have a chance to make history at WrestleMania with Bianca. It's all there. It's all right there for the taking. I mean, I love Alexa. I love every other woman in this match, but it's like Bianca is just Bianca. And she's a force unto herself. And she should be unleashed. Because they've kept her on the back burner long enough. It's like, let's go. Let's go with her. Come on. Do the thing. Do the thing.
So I'm going Bianca, you're going Bianca. Mm-hmm. Magic 8-Ball, does Doudrop head the WrestleMania? No. Magic 8-Ball, does Alexa Bliss head the WrestleMania? Most likely. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 6.
That's Alexa Bliss.
Okay. They're staying on trend.
They are really staying on trend.
And last but certainly not least, for the WWE Championship. Just been quite a while since I think the championship's been defended in the chamber. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar versus Austin Theory versus Seth freaking Rollins versus Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles. Brock is your Royal Rumble winner.
And he's headed to WrestleMania to fight Roman Reigns for the championship. Okay. Austin Theory is not headed to WrestleMania as your WWE champion.
Nope.
AJ Styles is probably not heading to WrestleMania as your WWE champion.
Nope.
The wild card would be Riddle heading into WrestleMania as your WWE champion. That would be something, and, you know, have the Viper and Riddle battle for the title. That would be something. I don't think that's happening. Leaves you the three names. The current reigning and defending Bobby Lashley. The number one contender for the other title, Brock Lesnar. The former champion. And Seth freaking Rollins.
See?
Let me ask you this question. If Brock doesn't win, who beats Brock?
Seth.
Clean?
Not fully clean. I feel like Bobby and Brock kind of cancel each other out, and Seth sort of slides in there and just grabs the title, as it were. But here's the deal. We're here for the drama, right? We're here for the lulls.
Always.
Now and forever.
Then. Now.
Now.
Forever.
Forever.
Together. Who needed a voiceover for that, by the way? No one.
In my heart of hearts, the troll in me wants Brock Lesnar to win this match and go on to WrestleMania and face Roman for the title and take the title off of Roman.
Title for title?
Title for title. And you do a unification between Roman and Brock, or with Brock with the two titles where he's two belt Brock. I want that so hard. It's stupid to want it. I really shouldn't want it, but just rage quit internet just makes me want it so hard. Because I look at the list and it's like, okay, all right, yeah, Austin Theory, he's automatically out. Although they could surprise everybody. But no, I think they have cooled a little bit on Austin Theory. He's not going to get the championship. Matt Riddle, they are building something between him and Gable and Otis. So I think he gets canceled out. AJ's still kind of dealing with Omos. Don't think there's going to be any action there. Bobby, you have Bobby and Brock. Brock took the title off of Bobby. Oh, wait, no. Brock's not. No, Bobby's the champion, right?
Yeah, Bobby's the champion. Bobby beat Brock for the title.
That's right, I forgot. Fuck. So, okay, so Bobby's the champion. Bobby beat Brock. Brock wants to go to WrestleMania as the champion.
He wants title for title.
He wants title for title. And then you have Seth.
The wild card.
Wild card, the opportunist, who can kind of sort of hang off to the edge, especially if it gets down to, say, Bobby versus Brock. And, you know, wait for one to take out the other, and then he sort of just slides in there like he did before with Brock Lesnar. Curb stomp 1-2-3. Seth escapes with the title. Or you just have Brock annihilate everybody and he just takes Bobby's title. I don't know who I want more. That's the problem. I can't talk myself into either. It's like I want Brock for the lulls, but I also want Seth because I feel like whoever gets Seth, which we kind of have a theory on who could get Seth.
It's written in the stars. Dust.
Would be really good. They have two nights of WrestleMania to fill.
They do.
Technically, you need two title matches to fill those WrestleManias, because you can do the Universal on one night, you can do the championship on the other.
I mean, you have two women's matches. One can close, like they did last year.
Like they did last year, that's absolutely true.
So you don't need two titles in theory. You can get away. You can get away with doing one title for title, especially if you have you know who what showing up, and you know, there's your headliner for a night.
There's your headliner for the night. So, who are you going with?
I'm with you for the lulz. It's Brock title for title, but I can see Usos say when Austin Theory gets eliminated or Riddle gets eliminated, the Usos slide in. They take out Brock, allowing Lashley to beat Brock again. So you screw Brock out of title for title. Because Roman doesn't need the WWE Championship. He's the Universal Champion. He doesn't need another belt. He's already the head of the table. He doesn't need that. So Bobby still run around as champion, and I would have Seth beat Bobby. Because Seth is the most entertaining act they have right now on Monday Night Raw. So if Brock doesn't get it, I'm going Seth freaking Rollins as my actual pick. You're going who?
I kind of want Seth as well, just because I can picture the Monday Night Raw after Chamber, where it's Bobby and Brock, and Seth is standing between them. And they're both like, you. And then Seth has to figure his way out of it.
Yep.
Because Brock's good. Brock's going for a title regardless. Like, he has Roman. That's locked in. The question is whether he goes with the WWE Championship or not. So, I think because they technically need the two matches, it's either staying on Bobby or it's going to Seth. And no offense to Bobby, I think Seth just has the stronger character right now. I think they're still kind of rebuilding Bobby a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're going to have him built enough for a WrestleMania match, because the other option is Bobby versus Seth for the title at Mania.
You could. And that's very possible.
Like, you could have Bobby retain.
You could, but Seth, at the moment, there's the moment, I don't know.
I just like Seth better, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's mainly the deal.
Like, just, I think everything Seth is doing right now is just gold. Like, it's untouchable in terms of how he's doing the character and him and his crazy-ass clothes and just the outlandishness of the whole thing and how he's transformed it into what he's transformed it into. It's just so good.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I'm kind of the line. It's gonna be Seth.
So Seth, 8-ball does Seth. No, the 8-ball does Bobby Lashley retain? You may rely on it. So it has Bobby retaining. Wheel.
Wrestler 6.
And that's who on our list?
AJ Styles, I think.
The phenomenal AJ Styles. So there you go.
All right. So that does it for us in Elimination Chamber. Do you agree with our picks? Do you want to submit your own picks? You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio up until, what, like noon essentially of the event to submit and get bragging rights for the event. And with that, you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
You can also go to facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, midnight is another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Before that, we'll be Fortnite with friends. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio reviews Elimination Chamber with Tim, Casey, and the intern, 10 p.m. Eastern on WTR Sunday night. Monday nights, we're all pushed at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review the Elimination Chamber. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts. It's twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Games. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or...
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store, why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners.
Your Uncharted skins are now available. Go buy them. They're in the shop. Go do the thing.
Hey, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. I have come back to Twitch for a little while. Twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. So please go follow the channel. If you would like to see Genshin Impact content, I'm going to be streaming for about 15 hours. On Twitch for the Genshin Twitch exclusive event thing that they're doing. So go check that out. Check out my stream schedule. But I also stream on YouTube a lot of the time. So look for Lynn's Ward on YouTube. You can go to lynnsward.rockradioshow.com or search Lynn's Ward on YouTube. And you can, you know, subscribe there. And I would greatly appreciate it. Ring the bell, please. And follow me on Twitter at LensWard for all the updates of when I'm going live and my general fuckery on Twitter, because it's sometimes funny. And use the creator codes. And also, please check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And with that, I'm Lindsay. He's Rock. You've been listening to Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.